honestly, we have to talk about this off air.
Well, I was actually, you know what? What you were just talking about, I was actually going to start with tonight.
What do you mean? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only because.
Well, we can't continue the conversation.
We're not going to harp on it, but we've come off a loss, obviously, and there's a lot of people that are a bit disgruntled about it and upset. But I think to start, we don't usually do this, but I was thinking about it today. It's just footy, man, at the end of the day. Yeah. Mm. And I tune into this Bondi stuff today. And obviously last night.
Yeah, shocking.
And it should give everyone some perspective. We do a podcast about football. We follow a football club. We've all got socials that we like to jump on, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is, about football and about this club. But it's a very, very shocking situation up in Sydney, up in Bondi. And if that doesn't give you perspective on a two-point loss, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, that really hit home.
Yeah. Well, it's also closer to the footy world as well, with North Melbourne's past player and, I don't know, if board member, but he was there in some capacity. I think he played 70-something games. So his actual wife and child, and also has another kid that's still in hospital. So obviously it's, you know, a lot of people are very connected, and we obviously, you know, pass on our condolences, etc., to the family. Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, we found out what at the game, boys.
Yeah.
So, obviously we know a few people shocking. In New South Wales as well, close. Yeah. Like I know I got family up there. So, straight away, my mum was on the phone.
Yeah.
Obviously lucky. But you know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's just very unfortunate, and a lot of people are distraught.
Perspective.
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of
definitely.
I hate to start on a down note, and we don't usually do that, but it's worth keeping in mind, because obviously tonight we might get a bit fiery, but you know, at the end of the day,
When don't we in an episode?
It's just footy. So, well said, Jules. We'll get into this.
That's
our moment. We finally, as a generation, we can hang our hat on a genuine moment.
Honestly, we are a force because of the intensity that we play at is just next level.
We want to be here. We want to impact finals. And it's one thing, obviously, saying it, but we just lived it.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 122 of the Almost Blues Brothers podcast, part of the Blue Abroad Media Network, and proudly powered in 2024 by the Image Online Studios here in Abbotsford. They do live calling, jingles, obviously the podcast studio as well. So if you need any of that, hit up Image Online, Abbotsford.
122, the points we could have scored in the loss.
He's a stat man now.
If we hit the scoreboard.
Like I said, off the top.
14-14.
Yep. Scoreboard pressure.
Like I said, off the top. Down note to start on, but again, to keep perspective. Outside of that and the shocking events over the weekend and the footy, how are your weekends, boys? What'd you get up to?
You're
in the garden up until 10 minutes before
that's
the podcast.
That's why I'm wearing this. My gardening. I've got Piota gardening. Okay. Piota.
There you go.
Are we doing sponsorship for that now?
Oh, no. We're not. He's on there.
He's not paying us. That was good. Livy and her sister are down. So got to spend some time with them yesterday, which is nice. Had a birthday at, you know where? Melbourne. I think it's Melbourne Bowls Club.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Nice. Jules.
Good place.
Yep.
Mm. Got to go.
Buck's idea.
Couldn't be sending you there. No, really good. Like the layout and everything. It's a Jules Cassano type place.
Oh, well, then it's locked in for the Bucks.
And
I think.
Architecture, like you got that like sort of like old school architecture.
Let's get done.
But Jules, it was a twilight, like night feel, I reckon would be good there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a little hint.
Makes your job easy.
Do what you got to do.
No, it was good.
Where is it? Where is it?
Off Chapel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Off Chapel. So there's plenty of bars after the Bucks.
And more.
Yeah. George.
How was the weekend?
And more. Obviously, footy. Made some sauce today. And actually, you know what?
When you say made sauce, you didn't bottle it.
I made sauce yesterday.
Not the way I do, boys.
What about my response? Oh, Jules, how many bottles? Oh, no, no, just on the stove.
Like it's a weekend event.
I went to a restaurant on Friday night. It's called the Waiter's Restaurant.
Ah, you're telling
me. You like this one.
Now, it's pasta. It's Italian pasta joint. Very good. It's in Mayor Place. So it's very central. I think it's off Lonsdale or what's the other one? Collins. Okay. So it's very rude, very, very good. You don't need a book, but it's like there's got time slots. So like a 5:30 to 7, 7 to 8:30, and then 8:30 till 10. So very good joint, boys. And the backstory of it.
Did you like it, Jules?
I loved it.
Won't be another idea for the Bucks.
But we've done the Bucks on the pod.
The backstory of it, all the waiters and chefs in the, well, not now, maybe now, but, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you should actually go there after they would have, obviously, do their thing for dinner for the public, so that's why it's called the Waiter's Restaurant.
There you go.
It's a really good way to get people in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Marketing.
Anything that's got a backstory. Yeah.
So it's actually cool. You got these stairs. It's nice. Very good joint.
Yeah, cool. Good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I've just planned
your and, here. Yeah, I'm into the stage, right?
Get into it.
I didn't do much over the weekend, to be honest.
You watched the Masters?
I have been staying up till 2, waking up at 5. Since Friday?
Why five?
Thursday night.
Why five?
That's the time.
It's when the main coverage starts. But the Masters coverage sort of starts like tonight, starting at midnight, I think, or 1.
And there's a vested interest, Jules.
A vested interest in Scottie Scheffler.
Vested.
Hey, I don't give too many tips very often, but I know my golf, yeah?
Yep. I'll give him that.
Mm. So we're riding that tonight, and it could be a nice little
and to
pay.
Be honest with you, all the money's going to go to your Bucks.
Yeah. Other than that, footy didn't do much today. I got that mate down from he's down from Canberra. He moved to Canberra recently. He's down in Melbourne for the day, so he came over today for an hour or so, and then that was it. So pretty chill weekend for me.
Well, you're off soon, aren't you?
No, I'm off in a month, so we've got another 4 weeks in this lovely studio, and then back on StreamYard for 4 weeks, unfortunately, boys. But you guys can still come.
Probably a good opportunity to host.
Mm, I think. surely you got things planned, Joe, for those.
For the trip?
For those 4 weeks.
Yeah, me and
that means you can't participate in the show?
Me and Gab, well, there's priorities, yeah, so it's pod.
Gab, you listening to
everything else on a Sunday? No, I'll still be here, just on StreamYard. No, we're going to Portugal for a week. So
nice.
I'm booking that this week. And then London, I'm there. This could be the greatest 3 weeks of my life. Therefore, the end of the EPL season, Arsenal could be in a title race on the last day. I might be there at the Emirates against Everton. And then I come back on the 2nd of June, just changed my flight because I was supposed to leave on the 1st of June. I was watching Champions League the other morning, Arsenal Bayern. And I went, I wonder when Champions League final is, how much I miss out by 1st of June.
Yeah.
Changed my flight to the next day. How's this? Got refunded $5 from Qatar. Thank you very much. I'll take it. It's meant to be.
It's good.
So I'm in the ballot for the Champions League final. If they come through, I'll die a happy man. I think I'll die a very happy man. We'll see.
I've got a friend that could help him out.
Yeah, well, you're going to get back to me on this.
Yeah.
Are you not?
Yep. I have news.
What's the news? Huh? What?
It's looking promising.
No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
So
don't tell me that.
Inside Man City type connections, and it's not.
No. Okay.
But it can happen.
No way.
More so if
They get in.
Correct. If they progress.
Well, I've got a vested
interest. The further you go, the more it could be likely.
I'm an Arsenal supporter, but I now really want Man City. All right.
We need to talk footy now.
Enough mucking
around. I think we need to.
Any further ado.
Let's get into it.
That's our moment. We finally, as a generation, we can hang our hat on a genuine moment.
Honestly, we are a force because of the intensity that we play at is just next level.
We want to be here. We want to impact finals. And it's one thing of obviously saying it, but we just lived it.
All right. And if you are here live, we are live as we are every week. Thank you for joining us in the live chat. Make sure you're commenting throughout, ask us any questions as we go. And while you're here, smash that like button, hit subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify during the week, hit that 5 stars and hit that follow button. Boys, first loss of the year, 4-1. Some said it was a danger game. I might have been one going in, but
it was. Everyone's shocked.
You know what? It was.
Everyone is surprised from that.
It was. It was a bit of a shock in the end. Now we know how that feels. At the end of the day, that was very ironic that we lost our first one for a long time, in the way that we've been beating teams up. Essentially,
do you think Adelaide's like our bogey side?
Well, obviously, they are.
We can't beat them. Melbourne, we beat them.
Yeah, well,
I mean, we bet them a couple of years ago at Marvel.
It's been 2 years.
That's at Marvel, we do.
Yeah, but last year we only played them once at thing. And the last time we bet them was when Ola went away. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
How's this for coincidence?
It was literally that day.
How's this for coincidence? So last year we were undefeated going into round 5, played Adelaide. Sam Walsh came back. We lost. Undefeated going into round 5 this year, play Adelaide. Sam Walsh comes back. We lost.
Oh, gosh.
Now, let's just hope the next 6 weeks don't turn out as it did.
Memberships. No, we're not going to be there.
Final scores on the night, 14-14-98, the Blues. Adelaide 16-4, which is where we're going to start here, 100. Goals for the Blues, Akers, Cottrell, Cripps, Durden, Fantasia, Elijah, Owies, Pitternet, 1 each. Mackay 2, Kerno 4. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 goal kickers. Mm. That's a fucking good spread.
When you have 28 shots.
Yeah, that's right.
You expect it.
46,000. Yes. Yeah, 46,000 at Marvel. Jack Carroll came on in the second quarter to replace Adam Saad with a hammy. Mark Pitnett came in late before the game for Adam Chera with a hammy. And Mitch McGovern was on the bench late in the game with a hammy. And we'll get there. We'll get there.
We will.
But first, there's one thing I want to kick this off with. Because we've been talking today, and I think we're all very much aligned to this, and we might actually start with you.
A calc.
Yeah.
Sure. My calculation is based off scores or shots, okay, essentially, or the amount of score that Adelaide were able to put on the board. And just to say, it probably never happens, okay, and reason being, okay, so in 2023, 100 points or more was scored 104 times, okay? Now, Not once was the behind tally 4 or lower. So it just goes to show that they literally, obviously, they kick 16-4. So to kick
they
100,
kick like their life,
but it just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
So, and also to put into perspective as well, the last, I think it was 10 minutes into the third quarter, from then to the end of the game, we had 13 shots to their 7.
Yeah.
And I think our efficiency inside 50 was the same as theirs for the game.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
And our disposal efficiency was the same as theirs.
Yeah. A lot of the stats were actually pretty
very even. Close.
Yeah. The game that's actually favored us.
It did.
Yeah. A lot. Well, yeah. Clearances.
But at the end of the day, where was the game won and lost?
Well, on the scoreboard.
It's in front of goal.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
And I don't know if you can get the picture up of where they.
I didn't upload it.
But. If you're able to go, where do you get that from? The AFL.
So it's from the Footy Live app.
So it's Footy. There's a Footy Live app out there. Yeah, so well, if you want to have a
the camera,
if you want to get a squiz of it, just where they had their shots compared to us.
I don't know. I don't know if we can see this. This is a bit,
not bad, Joe.
Bit amateur.
It's not bad. You can see.
But the top is Carlton. So that's where we scored. The blue dots are where we scored our goals from. The bottom.
Yeah, look at their opportunities.
Is Adelaide, where they scored their goals from. Now, we basically scored in the hot zones there. That's that hot zone from that V from the goal square out. They kicked 3 from beyond 50 on the angle.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, a bit of perspective. And even Voss in his presser, he actually said that in terms of the game that we actually played, like the game style, we're closer than ever we have been, even though we lost the game.
He did say that he felt that we were more balanced.
Correct.
That's the word he used. So yep. He mentioned balance.
He did.
And he was talking about that from the clearance perspective and that we dominated it and that we hadn't had that previously. Yeah. For me, the game early on, we'll go quarter by quarter, but for me, a stat that stood out was that they had scored at the end of the first quarter, they had scored 24 points off turnover to our 6.
There you go. That's a very different profile from the previous points.
Correct. And that's something that we would do to teams. Mm. And you could see very early on that defensively, as a back 6 in particular, that we're struggling to deal with transition when we give the ball away. And we gave the ball away in, I feel, key areas that we could get punished. Mm. Okay.
There's another interesting stat. I think we had more forward half intercepts than they did.
We did.
So,
yes.
From that profile,
I think it was like 24 to 11 or 13.
Which
or
is
something.
What, and we had 11 tackles inside forward 50 again and 62 tackles for the game, which is way above the AFL average for both. But that profile of our game was still there. So we're still turning the ball over in the areas that we wanted to. We're still obviously creating opportunities. We had 28 shots on goal. Your point in that is, when we did create the turnover but didn't create an opportunity from it, it slingshotted the other way too easily.
Well, whether we wasted the ball or it was from their ball movement, but that's at the end of the day, you could see defensively we were struggling.
Yeah.
We really were.
I mean, Voss even touched it in his press conference and he was shocked. You know, how do you go over playing against Fremantle when he actually felt that that was our best game defensively? Mm. And then obviously pretty much him saying that this was our worst game defensively. Thoughts, boys. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, can I start here? Bjorn McCarthy in the live chat. Pressure was missing. Fogarty leads that.
Yep, he bent us to it.
Was Fogarty that much of a factor?
I think forward
of center?
In the second quarter, there was a tackle made by someone that didn't stick. I think it was Dirds. And we all turned to each other and said that if that was Fog, he's holding
tackle
the ball.
Sticks, yep.
So I think from an actual, our pressure rating was massive by the end of the game. But from Fogg's tackle stick and his pressure's immense. So I think it was noticeable him being absent anyway for that game.
Mm.
But at the same time, where we're turning the ball over didn't affect him.
No.
We were turning the ball over in crucial areas that were then getting punished.
Yeah.
I saw Weeders five meters away from his man.
Mm. So on that one, and I spoke about this with you pre-show. So that shocked me. It shocked all of us, I think, at the game to see Weeders have his colours lowered like he did. Today on Twitter, someone made a really good point about that, though. So it almost looked like Weeders was trying to mark the space in between Walker and Darcy Fogarty, so that Fogarty didn't have a lead up in behind, it was almost like we were happy to give Taylor Walker 55 and out. Now, I get it. In theory, that actually does make a lot of sense. So you're not giving them a high percentage look closer to goal by shutting down Fogarty's leading patterns. But when Taylor Walker's dobbing them from 50 in the first half, surely there's got to be a mentality shift to go, well, this isn't working. Maybe let's just man up a little bit tighter here.
Yeah. I mean,
because it didn't happen all game. It was shocking to watch.
I can understand that point as well. And obviously we had a bit of a conversation pre-show, Joe, about it when you brought it up. But I'm just thinking, I actually want Fogarty on a lead with Kemp.
Yeah.
I think Kemp can go. Which we did see in the pocket, like where we were sitting.
He's got the closing speed.
Yeah. I don't want him in a one-on-one duel.
Yeah.
Like you saw the size difference. Mm. And obviously, if it is popped up, then you have the likes of a third defender to come over.
Yeah.
Like a Gov, like a Newman, etc. Even if Weedering is upfield.
Mm.
You know? So I think, we want Weedering as deep as possible.
More
other
often than not,
other
yep.
teams want him higher up as possible.
Correct.
So I just think that's sort of was playing in Weedering's mind. I feel like as if we need to be confident enough to not have Weedering as deep for parts of the game, especially when the ball is so close to the goal.
Mm. We came from such a different game against Freo to now Adelaide.
Mm.
And I was actually thinking to myself, was that contrast in game styles the reason for us? We just didn't look responsive.
Mm.
And reactive. Then we start reactive. So then, yeah, that's the word. We didn't come into but then we started to actually come into our own the more the game went on. But there was too many lapses that didn't allow us to see the game off, I guess, as well, defensively.
Yeah, well,
there was a lot of lapses where Adelaide would actually kick two or three quick goals.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll touch in terms of lapses late on. But yeah, I agree. I think our pressure sort of went up as well, like in terms of our performance. So over the course of the game, from, three halfway during the third quarter, I reckon it actually did go up to another level.
Well, I've got the pressure rating stats.
Yeah.
I took a screenshot of it today. Up the Baggers on Twitter does a fantastic job of staying on top of this stuff.
Yeah, and you could see it. I mean, Joe, you were mentioning it, what, during the third quarter? Yeah, but you mentioned it during the third quarter, Joe.
So, yeah, pressure rating quarter by quarter. So, first quarter was 172 to 173, pretty even, below average for the AFL. The average is 180. Second quarter, 185 for Carlton, 166 to Adelaide. So, yeah. We started getting on top, which I do remember.
You could identify, yeah.
Where we started to create a little bit more opportunity. Third quarter, 174 to 181. So, again, pretty even. Now, for the game, the average was 186 on the pressure rating for Carlton, 181 for Adelaide. The last quarter, we had a pressure rating of 211, okay, which is through the roof. Do you know what Adelaide's pressure rating was in the last quarter? 214, right? So
massive.
So we basically said to them, we're not going to let you win this game, right? You're going to have to beat us, right? You're going to have to go with us in this last quarter to win this game, considering it was tied at three-quarter time. We gave them everything. And I remember sitting there with you. You'd already left at that point. You had the birthday. But I remember sitting there with you, and we both went, pressure's through the roof here. This is us, yeah? They went at 214.
Yeah,
they massive. Said, fuck yeah, we'll beat you. And they did. And to their credit, mate, I know we were 16 points up and you should never drop a game from that point. That's probably the most disappointing aspect of the game.
That's
last,
what I wanted to
last
mention.
Night.
Yeah.
But to Adelaide's credit, to put up that sort of pressure rating when the heat is on you and you're fighting back to that extent is insane. That's insane. That is backs against the wall. They knew that was finals on the line for them. They can't start 0-5 and play finals. So you saw it in their demeanor all night.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That you mentioned the fact that we're 16 points up and let it slip. That's probably an element, bar from the fact defensively we were poor in patches. That's probably the biggest factor that I look at and go with what we want. That's probably the biggest disappointment, was allowing that slip. Where you're 16 points up with X amount of minutes to go.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah, that's right. For me, little bit inexcusable. I actually thought Vossi would be more disappointed about that fact in his presser than anything else. Mm. Given the fact that we'd actually got some ascendancy, that was the biggest margin of the game, boys.
Well, he actually
16 points was the biggest margin of the game.
It was, yeah.
Correct, yeah. I mean, he did touch on it in terms of
moments.
He spoke about moments that maybe we'd like to take back. Obviously, we've won how many close ones? And
but when you're 16 points up, does that become a close one? Like, when you're 16 points up, you've changed that. You've changed the narrative a little bit in my eyes.
I think
that's a three-goal margin.
I think for him, I reckon he's just trying to answer the question, but behind closed doors.
He's fuming.
You'd hope there's other conversations
happening,
but there's probably reasons why. And obviously, you touched on it pre-show.
I still think it is a close game at that point, considering how many goals were kicked.
Yeah, but can I tell you a moment?
At that point, there were 27 goals kicked in the game.
I understand.
So a three-goal margin can, like, based on the momentum of the game and how it was being played out, three goals wasn't enough in hindsight and in retrospect to say we can rest on our laurels here.
If it was a low scoring game,
makes sense.
No, but Joe, there was
15 lead changes.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but it was 16 points.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, who's going to change a lead with three goals?
I still think in a high scoring game, a 16 point lead isn't the same as a 16 point lead if the scores were the same as the Freo game last week.
The reason I don't want to hype too negative about it, because it's obviously our first loss in
long season. Time. Yeah, third loss in our last 18.
Yeah, okay. But in saying that, you know, you've hit the ascendancy. You've got a 16-point margin, biggest margin of the game. Then you're looking at moments where Isaac Rankin's taking an uncontested mark inside 50 with Weeders and Zach Williams just sort of looking at the ball. Do you know what I mean? And he kicked it behind in that moment. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Mm. Is, yeah, shut shot.
Yeah.
End it. Shut shot, put the foot down, you're done.
We should have.
Seriously.
Yeah, we should have iced the game, but And there's a couple of comments here as well saying Adelaide basically took the game on, threw everything at it, and they better set our own game. It's what we've done. It's literally what we've done for the last 10 games that have been.
Or did we lose with our kicking? Did we lose?
Yeah, well, we like, said this today.
Did they beat us or did we lose?
Well, right. I think we lost more than they won.
Of course.
We lost more than they won, correct.
We didn't take our chances when we should have. But when it came to crunch time, Adelaide threw the book at it, threw the kitchen sink at it, and they literally beat us at our
because
own game.
Always,
we have won our last 10 games by under a goal before yesterday.
Everyone's talking about the
last. Sorry, the last 10 games that were decided by under a goal.
Where he stubbed his toe. Yeah, you know,
it shouldn't come to that.
It shouldn't, correct. No, because you're 16 points up.
No,
it shouldn't be down to a moment with Owie.
I'm not here to trash Owie or Harry or any of those moments. It shouldn't get to that point.
There was a lot of people trashing it.
I know, but I'm saying I'm not here to do that tonight.
No,
I'm not doing it.
But that's what I'm saying. If you look at the game as its entirety, then that moment should have been irrelevant.
Yeah. I think the performance for me was dull compared to what I was expecting.
Agreed.
Against an Adelaide side. 0-4.
Agree.
So why did it change so much from the week prior or from what we've seen for the season with especially in regards to transition, which we've been putting teams away with?
Personnel changes.
I think we're speaking about it pre-show as well. For me, I mean, I think teams would have sort of tried to work us out. What do we go? Like 80 points off transition, then 70 and then 60 something in the first 3-4 games or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Obviously Freo is a bit of an outlier, I reckon, because you're playing against a Freo with
a low scoring game,
low scoring. The ball movement really isn't there when you play a Freo side. Team's going to work us out, especially the patterns that we're actually trying to run. I think it's just a development with us in terms of trying to add little aspects of our game, especially with our transition in terms of the way we actually move the ball, which will happen.
Yeah.
It's an evolution.
You could see clearly that we're getting the ball out of the middle a lot more. All right. We're dominating the clearance, the stoppage in the center. All right. Do you both know how many goals we did kick off turnover
for the game?
Yeah. Do you know?
No.
You, Jules?
No.
I'd be very interested to know.
But we only scored 6 in the first quarter off turnover.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, so if that's a pattern for the game,
but you're trying
probably
to
probably nowhere near as
but
what.
But why I'm trying to say this is because Jules's question was saying like why was it different?
Yeah,
because I felt as though with the inclusion of Pitto, we'd actually gone in with a different agenda.
This
was to win the stoppage,
for sure.
to win the clearance.
This is where
to be dominant
he
in
said
there.
More balanced.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So I think it did look different naturally because we were biasing to win that element of.
The game. Which we did.
This is where I was trying to lead that.
And we created score from it.
Yeah.
This is where I was trying to lead that. And it was a question that someone on Twitter, Wombat, I've got to give him a shout out because he said, if you don't shout me out when you're talking about this, if asking this question, I'll kill you. So Wombat on Twitter said, he basically asked what we thought about the effectiveness of Pitto. His take was it took Harry out of the game because Harry sort of has been, which it's a fair point, really. Harry in the ruck sort of gets him around the ground, gets him involved a lot more
he's
in play.
He's still 10 marks.
Still, I know. He's still
14 touches, 10 marks,
yeah,
2 goals.
He was still there. But
game
does it take Harry out of the game? Did it lead to imbalance? And essentially, did winning clearance ultimately hurt us at the end of the day? For me, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't our profile. However.
We kicked 14 behinds, Joe.
However, what I will say. However,
we kick 14 behinds.
That's fine. We've
kick one of those, you win.
I know. Or if this is where I was going to go, would we be saying the same thing if Adelaide kicked 15-5? And I'm not even talking 10-10. I'm talking 15-5. No.
I mean,
we would have won the game.
We probably still would have had the conversation.
But it'd be a very different demeanor, right? Yeah. And we probably wouldn't be going, oh, Pitto, you know, didn't do the job, wasn't the right profile, we didn't go in with the right balance.
I mean,
we would have won the game, we'd be going, well, it worked. We walked about the four points.
Vossi's clearly seen something positive about it because he said we're balanced regarding that area. If me personally, watching Pitto, I didn't actually think he was right.
Yeah.
He didn't look right. He only played 63 minutes.
He played 50% of the game.
Yeah.
Mm.
And in the first quarter, he actually asked to be to actually come to the bench. And then we didn't see him for nearly another quarter.
I was asking you, where is he? I didn't see him for like 15 minutes.
So this is the thing. So we won the clearances by 7. He had 6 clearances. So he's the difference this week. When you think about it, he was the inclusion.
Yeah.
And Walsh had 8
clearances.
I know. But 4 from the center from Pitto out of his 6, right?
Mm.
DeConning didn't have 1. Okay, he had 4 clearances for the
Pitto
game.
Pitto had 15 hitouts in 50% of the game time.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how many times Pitto was in the middle.
He had 17 center bounce tendencies.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so then
And then how many goals were kicked for the game? 20,
14 and
30. So he attended 30. More center bounces than TDK.
Correct. Oh, well, yeah, there were even more because each quarter plus four. Yeah, that's right. As well. Yeah. So it's probably balanced.
So it depends. This is
less game time.
It might have been balanced, but less game time. Regardless, point I'm trying to make here is for weeks, people have been saying, and we've said, where's the clearance game? When's that going to come? How are we going to add that layer? We had a discussion about 2-3 weeks ago about how effective Pitto might be. We saw how effective he was in just getting those clearance numbers up at the end of the day. Walsh obviously was an added factor too, which we spoke about to a couple of weeks. So you add those two in, we win clearances, but ultimately we lose the game. And yeah. We don't look like the team that we've been for the last 3 weeks. So how important then, this is the question I want to ask you both, how important is it to get the stoppage game right? Because for me, we look a much better side when we're not focusing on that aspect of the game.
It's a small sample size.
It's one game, but we genuinely looked like a much better side for the previous 4 weeks.
I think we're a different team because Pitt only played 50% as well. So, I think rolling with one ruck, okay, is better overall with the inclusion of Walsh. As long as you got the Walsh, the chair, because I think around the ball, when you have those types of players, like you're going to win them. But in saying that, I think Pitto does add something to our game as well, but it's opposition dependent in my eyes. And what kind of team do we want to be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I personally think
that's the question.
What kind of profile?
What profile do you want?
Yeah, but from what it seems as though we're trying to be able to have two strings to our,
which you probably need.
Well, you do, and we will ask them for this last year. So, I guess from a coaching perspective, they are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to strengthen. But did they get it right on the weekend?
Well, I don't think actually Pitto, to be honest with you, he played 50% of the game time, as we mentioned. All right. Now, Chera was laid out. I actually don't think that this was the game for Pitto to showcase the effectiveness of what he can bring.
No.
Do you understand?
Yep, fair enough.
Why?
Because he played 50% of the game time.
Yeah. Correct.
That's right.
So can I also add
that? Because he wasn't meant to play.
Why is he playing?
That's right. That's the question that I have. If you're playing 50% of game time, I cannot tell you how shocked I was when I saw that he shouldn't be playing.
Can I also add to that?
He shouldn't.
Can I also add to that? Losing Saad early on, you can't discount how much that would have hurt our transition as well. Because he's a big part of that, right? So you lose Saad.
We weren't effective on transition.
No, but I'm saying
when he was on the ground.
All right, but when you're late in the game and fatigue starts to get in, you need someone like that to be able to break.
Yeah, I get
right.
That.
So my point is, there are other factors too that you have to take into account in a discussion like this to go, was this game the game to take as the sample to go, is it going to work or not? For me,
no.
You said you just want one ruck. I can't make the judgment call yet, personally.
Yeah, I'm the same
on whether or not there's one ruck or two that we need to roll with going forward, because unfortunately our personnel. At the moment now, and we can go into this now if you want as well with injuries, they're stacking up. We don't have the run that we probably want on the outside with Cunners out, with Saad now out as well. How are we actually going to be able to evaluate how effective two rucks is versus one when you don't have your full cattle available?
I agree, but I think, I mean, we've touched it on, I don't know how many episodes, but especially recently, that history tells us that you win premierships off turnover.
Yeah, 100%.
So if having two rucks is going to make it more difficult to be able to score off turnover, I'm sorry. I'm not having two rucks.
Yeah, but is one game enough to say that is the case?
You probably can't judge.
We've had seasons with other teams, whoever's won premierships.
Yeah, well.
Does that
make sense? No, but I'm saying for us, is one game enough to say that we can't do both?
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I'm just going off, not us, I'm just going off all the other teams in AFL who have won premierships and multiple premierships in the last, I don't know how many years. And usually, traditionally, they have one ruck and they've been scoring off turnover.
Is Michael Harley and who is it? Kathy Stefanides in the live chat. They're doing a they're doing a count on how many times Jules says obviously.
Keep it up.
Have I been doing a count?
Apparently.
What am I at?
They stopped a while ago, but I'm sure they'll come in now. Look, the comments in the live chat, basically, yeah, they're very 50-50 on this as well. Like, you don't know yet at the end of the day. I started to question it. Yeah,
I started to question it.
I'm already
questioning. That's why I had to go back to the stats. I had to go back to the stats
to see.
And when I saw he played 63 minutes out of 120 something, he got 6 clearances. He kicked a goal. Like,
he had 15.
He had 15 hit outs. I thought, well, I probably need a wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because he just didn't look.
He doesn't have it detrimental to a Harry, to a TDK if he does play. Yeah. That's, you know what I mean? Like, it's the, what am I talking about? The.
Could Riley O'Brien.
Do you take more? Do you take less?
Could Riley O'Brien have had more of an impact if he didn't?
I don't know. Maybe in the tap work, but.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
How many taps did Advantage Shapiro have and how many taps did TDK have? TDK have?
TDK had 20. Oh, no, so I'm not sure.
And I'm not sure. Really?
No, you have to look at that.
I would like to see, on average, how many hit outs to advantage there are to not in total, not just Harry, TDK, and a Pitto, just across the AFL competition. Mm. It'd probably be negative. It probably would be.
Negative.
Imagine how difficult it would be to tap to an advantage compared to just hit it anywhere and the opposition get the ball.
Mm. Well, I know Pitto led the league in hit-outs to advantage last season before his injury.
Yeah, in the four or five games.
And then when he came back, he was right there as well.
But do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get you. Look, time will tell. I don't think this is the last time we're going to see the two rucks.
No,
it definitely won't.
I think we'll see it next week as well against JB. They're going to roll with it next week. Everything tells me they're going to roll with
when,
it again.
When I watched the presser and Voss's reaction, it didn't – initially, it seemed as though it was him not impressed with the two, having the two. I then didn't see it like that. I think the late out from Chez sort of trumped him a little bit.
I've just had a thought on this. How much are we missing Jack Silvani then in this when you think about it?
I think big time.
Because you know what his role would have been, right? That's second ruck.
Correct.
Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought about that until right now. Like that could actually be a big part of.
But Joe, we've got 6-7 injuries at the moment.
No,
you
know.
You can say that about
a lot of players.
No, but hold on. Within the context of this conversation around ruck work.
Yeah.
Jack's role, when Jack and TDK were working together last year, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was working.
Phenomenal. It worked, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Food for thought. All right. Injuries.
I'm not going
to. Hold on. So just to give everyone context, that if you've watched the show before, if you've listened to us or if you haven't, Dan's profession, you're a sports scientist, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Strength and conditioning. Coach.
Strength and conditioning, sports science, it's your background. Jules, I know you've got the degree in it as well, but as a profession, Dan, this is your area. You've banged on about it for a while. We've had discussions outside of the podcast. I've been very reluctant, and I'm not going to tip into this at all because it's not my
area. I'm not going to go into too much detail. However, I'm just going to raise a question to you both.
No, I want to ask you a question because you're the one that can educate people on this, okay? From your perspective, when you've got this many soft tissue injuries now, okay? Because it's how many hammies?
Six hamstrings. I just want to make sure that I'm right.
Yeah, we'll go through them. Yeah.
But so at least what I'm aware of, obviously you got Govan Saaf on the weekend, Chera, I think he did it on training on the Thursday.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And then obviously you got Martin, who's missed through a variety of things. Then he's 4 to 6 with a hamstring as well now. And then you got Cunners and Motts.
Motts is a calf, I think. Essentially, They're all soft tissue.
Okay.
So if we're in it, now, I have discussions about this with Terry a lot around what the purpose of this is for. At the end of the day, we want to educate people, right? And we've got an expert in the room that could potentially offer some insight and education to listeners and to viewers in terms of why we might be in the state that we're in. Now, I want to preface this by saying, we're not here.
I'm not here to criticize.
We're not here to bash the S&C. No. We're not here to bash the high performance department. This is purely, if you want to go there, you give your perspective on why we might find ourselves in this position right now.
The way I see it is this. The role of your high performance team is to prevent injury, keep players on the park, keep players in the best physical condition that they can to be available for selection, for us to then be able to win games.
And I can perform.
Correct. Now, the only, and I don't want to go too critical, but my concern is that I would hope that there would be discussions with the team, all right, the S&C team, as to why we are seeing so many injuries. Because in round 5, to have 6-7 soft tissue injuries, for me, doesn't make sense. Not this early. It really doesn't. Not when that when the role of them is to be able to be up for selection. That could then, because Joe said to me off air, yeah, but if it's in round 16, 17, then...
And then you're fucked going into finals.
No, but you said to me, oh, that's when I'll judge this. But it's too late. It's too late to judge that, because what if this is already... Look, we lost to Adelaide. No, if you have point, certain players up for selection, does that change?
I think the point that I made was...
Do you know what I mean? You're keeping certain players on the park.
And then you can rest players.
Does that change having them available?
Is there maybe an element to this that we don't know, obviously, but...
I'm not criticising the program. I'm just saying I feel as though there has to be some questions raised as to why we are getting so many injuries.
People have raised questions, though. This has been a talking point that we haven't touched on for a long time, if ever, to be honest, but it's been a talking point.
Well, it's pretty in our face now.
Yeah.
I'm fully aware that the club, a couple of weeks out from the season and then going into rounds 1-2 before we had the bye, or sorry, opening round, then round one, that they had a very big block of...
Who cares? Don't have the block in that portion of the prep.
Okay.
Well, so this is. I'm just saying, would that be a factor? Could it be a factor?
It could be. This is the other thing. Could the factor also be that these hammies or soft tissue injuries, especially when you take into account that they're injury prone players in
Martin? Should you be tailoring? Wait, Joe.
Let me finish. Martin, Motts, Cunners, right? They're three that have had soft tissue across. Gov. Even Chez last year.
Gov
now, right? So. Is there maybe an element to this where they're not actually as bad as what's being reported, but the club's looking at it, and I'm only looking at this based on what we saw last year, looking at it going, you know what? Why risk them now? We need them to be fit and firing for the back half of the year. Give them an extra couple of weeks.
We're speculating, though.
Of course. But all of this is speculation, isn't it?
We don't know what grade.
No one knows.
But all we know is they're out with hamstrings. That's what we do know.
Or there's playing.
That's the only
managed.
Factor we do.
Yeah. The point that I'm trying to make is we don't know. You're right. And like you said, Jules, there's a number of factors that we just don't know. We just don't. That could come into calculation at the end of the day. I understand what you're saying.
The only thing we know is their hamstrings.
You don't want to see six players with soft tissue injuries in round five at the end of the day, ideally. You don't even want to see three or four, to be fair.
Do you want to field your best team possible?
Of course, every week.
So does the injuries allow you to do that?
No.
No. So who's accountable for those?
Pretty simple.
Stop.
Yeah.
Move on.
You happy?
Move on.
You really want us to talk about it?
No,
it's fair.
I'm not criticizing, I'm not hammering. I'm just trying to get some understanding
as
to what's happening with us, because we can't field
our best
22 as a result.
I think that's a very balanced way to approach that discussion, because a lot of the discourse that I've seen online has not been balanced, and it's just targeted at certain people, targeted at certain, obviously Andrew Russell is a name that comes up. I don't think that's fair. I just don't think it's fair. At the end of the day, none of us know. None of us know. When there's an expert in the room that can give his opinion on why it might be happening and what could potentially be done different, you listen and you educate yourself. That's all that this needed to be. I think you did well.
Can I host now?
It's a very sensitive topic. Trust me, this is a very, very sensitive topic.
Well, that's why I didn't want to go too... Listen.
You didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't cross the line. I don't think we've crossed the line at all. Now, speaking of online discourse, so we've lost one game for the year. It's our third of our last 18.
They've seen Armageddon.
And that's what it felt like on Twitter last night from our fans. So I want to harp back to, we went on SEN with Paolo. We did we went to the SEN studios preseason, did that episode with Paolo. And he asked us, what's our biggest strength? And we all said the unity of our fans, yeah? And how united we are as a football club. If we're that fragile that after one loss, this discourse around, and I quote, I'm not going to say who it was on Twitter, I'm not going to give him out, but I quote, around our joke of a football club after one loss, how fragile a fan base are we? And surely we have all learnt from last year at this point to just bide our time a little bit and not jump at shadows.
Is it a minority, you think?
I don't know.
I think yes, but they come out very loud.
That's usually what happens, isn't it? In all aspects of society.
We'll get there. Maybe this could be the end of the show topic.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that's usually the case.
It is.
So I just think, look, obviously we're going to have conversations.
I know what you're saying, but it only takes one, like that video last year of whoever it was abusing the players over the ramp. It only takes one for it to blow out of proportion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then it infiltrates other people's opinions and views, infiltrates the club, whatever it may be.
That's social media these days.
It is.
You know, and when you can take a bit of a grab and then obviously share it across, I don't know, thousands, tens of thousands of people or even hundreds of thousands, that's what happens. But, I mean, surely we're better than that. You know, particularly after last season, in terms of what we went through, what were we? 3-0
Yep.
We had a draw and 3 wins, and then with round 5, we lost, and then we sort of went on a bit of a rut for 6 or so games. Hmm. Then we like won like 9 or 10 of the last, you know, 9, 10 games, pretty much until we ran against.
Hey, we got sucked into it after the Essendon game. I was ready to give up. We all were, right?
And Swan Street. I mean, I think we've learnt from last year.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, but the players have learnt from moments, and you'd hope that us as supporters have done the same. I agree with Jules that I think it's a minority that are acting out in what what we're all seeing, it's loud.
Yes, and my concern is that if we come out and lose to GWS, I'm not saying we will. I actually think we're going to beat them, to be honest. But let's say we come out and lose to GWS. Let's say we lose 3 of our next 4, yeah? And we're all of a sudden 5-4. How loud is that voice going to become?
Hmm.
And that's not where we need to get back to. Because if we go back there, we saw the result.
We can't get sucked in.
Like, we're a big part of this. The players themselves have said it. The club, it's been the narrative that came out of the club in the offseason. The supporters of this football club are such a big part in how we perform. We just are. We can't influence what they do with ball in hand. We can't influence how they execute a handball. But at the end of the day, our energy, they feed off that. And if it starts to become negative very quickly, we're going to see the results, boys. I'm telling you. I said last night on Twitter, I don't know where I came up with this, but it came to me. There's a very big difference between supporters and fans for me. Supporters stick fat and they see it as a balanced view, which is, I hope, what we try to do every week. Fans just love the good times at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fans at the moment, is what I'm saying. And it's pissing me off a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally with you. But we've seen some, I mean, it's not too far away. You know, it's only been, 3, 4, 5 years where...
The dark times.
Yeah, like, it's not too
different. We've moved on from that now.
No, you'd hope so.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that long ago.
We spoke about the trust, how much we trust this football club. I still trust them with everything at this point.
But we're talking about us.
Yeah, yeah. we're trying to reach a wider community thinking the same way, which you hope
more people
of our listeners and everyone else, yeah, it does.
All right. Well, we basically ticked off all the run sheet. I did run sheet for the first time in like 50 episodes today. I had to.
Yeah, last week went a bit erratic.
Anything else you want to talk about individuals at all before we get into votes? Let's not talk about anyone in the votes.
Can I mention one person? I have to give there was Elijah Hollands.
Yeah, no, he played a good game.
Elijah Hollands' third quarter in particular, go back and watch it, was unbelievable.
Yeah. You're welcome.
He's what. Jules found him. I forgot. Anyway, his contribution was
He was good. He was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'm liking what I'm seeing of Elijah, and I thought he always had the potential. I've said it since.
In those moments, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
In those moments, from what I'd seen,
he just needs a good run of games, and I reckon you'll see the best of him in the next year or so. The best of him, but you'll see him improve.
He's put a couple of good games together now, for sure. The other one for me is Fantasia, actually. I want to speak about Orazio, because I don't know if I'm the only one saying it. I think he's one of our classiest players, forward or center. I just think he's going to get more games under his belt, get some continuity under his feet, because the way that he uses his body and his forward craft to create opportunities, we don't have another small forward available at the moment that can do that. He reminds me a lot of what Jack Martin can do with his body. He's just very, very smart. He's a very smart footballer and very clean with ball in hand.
With the injuries that we do have, I don't see him not playing.
Yeah.
No.
Well, obviously.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So until we have a full leafra. Now, how do you say it? What's the word I'm looking for?
For what?
For what?
Anyway, all that
plethora.
Is that the word I'm looking for?
When you've got a
plethora
of players.
But I think it's right in the right context.
No.
Plethora.
I'll look at the dictionary. So what I'm trying to say is until we have all those players, small forwards available.
But I'm saying even at that point, he stays in for me. You've got to find a spot for him because he's got so much class. He oozes class forward of center.
You think?
Yeah.
I probably want to see a bit more.
There's a lot in the comments that agree.
No. I think he has more talent.
No, what, Jules
experience. Experience and experience counts for a lot. I'm telling you,
but
it counts for a lot.
I get it. I think when you're bringing Martin to come in,
yeah,
Mott to come in,
Elijah,
Fogg,
yeah. Elijah. Like, I think Elijah's doing better than what Fantasia is at the moment.
It's empty already.
Oh, that was going to go straight on this.
Fuck. So, I'm trying to say is when you have a full abundance of those types of players in the side, he might find it hard.
I'm saying we've got to find a spot for him because I like what I'm saying. In the small sample size that we've had.
You did criticize him, though, at one stage, I remember. When he got in the way of Harry's leading patterns.
There was two moments. I don't remember one.
Who's
one
our
you
best?
Criticized and then he did it again a bit later.
I missed the second.
Who's our best small forward
at the moment available?
No,
Mott.
Oh, in general.
Okay, second.
Oh, well, does Martin count as a small forward?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Well, Martin's probably number one. Right, number
then,
two.
Yeah, then who? Because you can only pay three or four. Four.
Then I think it's fair. Then you got
Cotters.
I would say Fogg.
You can't play Cotters.
Rotates half forward to wings.
But so he's one of them.
I'd be saying Fogg.
You need someone to sub through. You need, realistically, eight players, maybe nine for your forward line on game day.
Seven. They roll with seven.
They don't roll with seven.
I'm telling you, defense have back six, seven. That's what happens.
I'm saying for our forward line.
You're going to count Cripps when he rests forward. That's not how it works.
No, not with Cripps. No.
Elijah Hollins, last night. Elijah, Durden, Fantasia, Owies.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, Cotters, Harry.
Charlie, Harry, that's seven.
It. That's it.
Was there not one more?
Well, I don't know if Cripps rested forward, but that's it. You only have
seven. Kennedy was there too before Sartman went off. That's eight.
Yeah.
Right, so like I said, eight or nine players you need.
I mean, Kennedy was playing predominantly mid.
Not when he started. He started forward.
No, he started forward.
Yeah, but he was playing predominantly. He
started forward, Jules. So you still need eight. I still think you can fit him in when we've got the full plethora of players available.
Maybe he's the right word.
It is the right word. You
the
one thing is,
no, it's the right word. But you didn't know what the word, you couldn't say it.
All right.
Let's. Because I knew what word it was.
Let's go to votes. Jules. Oh, by the way, a lot of love for your Bologna top tonight, too.
I haven't
mentioned that yet. But
he's got a classic shirt of an app now.
He's making a thing.
I should make another thing.
Just keep buying them.
Yeah.
I've got enough, I reckon.
You do have a lot.
Yeah. My votes.
Yeah. You had Akers 1, Boyd 2, Walsh 3.
Correct.
How about we've all got very similar votes.
Well, Walsh 3 for
you know what? Touch on Jordan Boyd because he's your boy.
Yeah. Jordan Boyd. I had him down for 2. You had him
2 or 1?
1. I had him 2.
I didn't have him in.
You didn't have him in?
No.
I had him for 2. Just because,
and just while we're going through this, leave your 3-2-1 in the live chat as well.
So 1 Akers, 2 Boyd, 3 Walsh. 2 for Boyd. I just think his defensive ability, especially one on one and coming across to intercept and his tackling, is especially from what we saw on the weekend. He was our best defender.
It's his ball use, though.
Yeah, but correct.
His ball use is a joke.
His ball use is an absolute joke. Hits people for fun.
He does. And he doesn't
very clean. Very clean.
We need to get him
the ball. Yep.
It is that simple. So in terms of the patterns that I'm talking about, in terms of what we actually need to build on, we need to try and work out
the
patterns
hands
that get Boyd free and get it to him. Because himself will be able to distribute.
He can hit targets.
Yeah. And help with our transition and ball movement.
He hits targets for fun. Dan, you had Akers for 1, Cripps for 2, Walshy for 3. Just touch on Akers, 150th game. I thought he had it was a classic Blake Akers game.
It was.
He was clutch at the end, too. Yeah. It could have been.
Especially strut from halftime.
Yeah, he was walking. How's that? He didn't come out of a jog.
Running out of the change room, just walking around. They went through a full drill. Just
he's walking.
And we went, you know what? Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, the goal for me summed up his game. I thought he was brilliant. So I gave him 1. I was touching on Boyd, but I put him as part of that back six unit that we'd criticized. So I couldn't give him a vote just because of where I felt the floor was within the game.
Fair.
And then I gave Cripper 2 because the area that we did dominate was the clearance work. And I couldn't get the part that where he ripped the ball out of 3 people's hands.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
That was an absolute was right joke. Do you remember that?
Yeah. The back pocket.
He just ripped it out and just
How
come out.
How many clearances did he have?
He had 7 or 8, I think.
It's a Cripps game. And again,
7 or 8 clearances.
7 or 8 clearances.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Walsh was leading. He definitely had 6 plus.
He had a game.
He had 6 plus. I'm telling you. I'll tell you now.
Oh, just, you go into your third. You go into
No, I'm going to talk about Walshy. Well, for Cripper, he kicked a goal.
He did. Yeah, at a crucial time. So
he's tackling too.
And he's tackling. I think he laid, check how many tackles he laid, Jules.
I don't know, Walsh laid 13. Like,
yeah, so I think he had eight
Cripps
tackles.
Cripps laid eight tackles. He had 22 disposals, kicked a goal. He had five score involvements, took three marks, and had seven clearances.
Yeah, there you go.
Three out of the seven.
That's why I gave him two.
Three inside 50.
He was actually dominant.
Two tackles inside 50 as well. So of those 11, two of them come from him. He dominated.
That's why he's got it's a Cripps game. It's a Cripps game. That's why I gave him the two.
And we all had Walsh for three. I had Boyd one, Akers two, Walsh for three. We can all touch on Walsh. We had a discussion the other week around where he'd play, wing or half forward. Didn't play either. We're both wrong. Just went straight in the gap.
No, that was no, wrong. That was the obvious thing. The question was, no, if I know. He didn't play there.
No, I know. But the point was, like, he did
he was
going to
play. He was never not playing.
He did what we all probably realistically thought he was going to do.
I didn't understand why we had the conversation.
Well, it was a hypothetical. It was a bye week.
It was a hypothetical.
It was a bye week, bloke. We needed a question.
Now, all I want to say, I'm going to read these numbers, okay, because Let's just appreciate.
Fumbling at the start, our Walsh.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he, Jules?
Well, I think a few players inside have been pretty fumbly. To
hey,
be
Jules'
honest.
Buddy.
Hold on.
No, wait. Jules' okay. buddy, because he.
What?
You know how you were sitting like diagonal to me? He looks at me, goes, Paisan, Walshy, a bit fumbly. I'm like, it's fucking Sam Walsh playing.
He just come back, but as well. He hasn't touched the footy in how long.
Oh, man.
Like, God, bloke's criticizing on 3 minutes of footy.
So, footy's not foreign to him.
So, these numbers are a joke. 34 disposals, standard. 15 contested. He had only 8 turnovers in those 34 disposals. He had 9 score involvements. And now this is where it gets stupid. 611 meters gained, 29 pressure acts, 8 clearances, 4 from the center. 11 inside 50s, 13 tackles from 75% time on ground.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the competition when he's up and running.
Yeah. Just put it into perspective, I think Cripps, Stewart, they all had out of 128 minutes played, they had around 107, 108. Walsh only played 91, 92 minutes.
Does Walsh get 3 votes?
I think that's 3 Brownlow votes.
Brownlow?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did he get 3 in that?
It was a close enough game that he could easily poll in a lot.
You would think so, yeah.
And I can't see a more influential player on the ground.
Not?
He was a joke. I was hoping he'd come back and have the impact. I genuinely didn't think he'd have that sort of impact.
Yeah,
that's
unreal.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Huge numbers.
All right. So, votes leaderboard. Jules, we spoke about this pre-show as well. Look how many players are on this leaderboard.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
But it just shows the dispersion of responsibility among the playing group when you've got 2, 4, 6, 8 players in our top 5 currently.
Yeah, we have a plethora of players inside there.
Plethora of players, yeah. What are you laughing at?
No, well, we can't vote. We're always not good at voting.
What do you mean?
Like, we're just picking players to pick them.
No, wrong.
You know what I mean?
No,
we're trying to have variety. Well,
no, I think Walsh is already in there, but I reckon if Walsh played the last 5 games, he'd be
dominant.
Yeah,
he probably Charlie did kick 4.
Yeah, but he kicked 4-3, and for me, in a game that you lose,
yeah,
there's 3 chances.
Still
to
did his job. Some regard.
Actually, you know what? Let's speak about Charlie for a second.
He's a freak.
He kicked
4 goals.
If he kicks,
how's his goal in the last quarter from nothing on the left, just pick it up. So blows nothing.
He turns it on. For a patch.
Yeah. He's done that every week.
He does that every week. Do you think, not he needs to be, but do you think he should be more consistent across the 4 quarters?
Yeah.
Not only with goals, but also with ball in hand, trying to hit up tackle, because he did have a few.
He was fumbly last night.
Yeah. And did have a few kicks that were sort of off the side of the boot and so on. And it's sort of been happening over the last, it's been happening for a while.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Usually does kick a goal, 4 or 5 goals in a quarter.
It's funny you mentioned that because I didn't give him a vote. He's in my sort of like options.
He was in the options.
But his disposal efficiency was pretty poor. Like, we could actually remember moments where he gave the ball away quite easy. All I would say is other teams would love for their full forwards to be kicking 4 every week, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, correct.
So I think he's still doing his job.
It's a luxury.
I'm talking for our
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I get it. From like Harry, overall gives you more output?
Wow.
Bar the goals.
Across the game.
Minus
across
the goals.
Minus
the goals.
Harry does what you're asking Charlie to do.
No, that's correct. What I'm saying. Yeah. Minus the goals, Harry gives you more.
Yeah.
Jules?
Yeah. No, for sure.
I just think let Charlie do what he's got.
Well, kick four, bloke. Well, you can't. Of how can you be angry at that? Yeah, I was like, opposition team.
I don't even know why I can't believe I'm questioning
you. I'm actually questioning you now.
That's what I'm saying.
We're moving on.
But I thought it just like now came into my mind.
There was a moment today where I thought we were going to have Lydia in the studio for a bit.
She was going to make an appearance. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm waiting for you to finish your sentence.
Oh. She was going to make an appearance. It got floated, but she just didn't want to wait outside the studio for 50 minutes. Poor girl.
Fair enough, too.
With that said, Livy's last word.
Hey, everybody. It's Livy with Livy's last words, and this is what I thought about the game. Well, I'm just going to start off with I had to watch the replay, and so we're watching it. And then my dad, he accidentally pressed fast forwarded to the live, and it was the last 5 minutes of the game. So it was so stressful because we were just watching it, and then we saw the score, and we just ruined it whole. But anyways, this is what I thought about the game. Well, first of all, in the first and second quarter, you know, we played okay. You know, our defense wasn't the best. I mean, Adelaide, they definitely had a few easy marks in their forward 50, which was just not very good for us. You know, having Saad getting injured is just not good at all. But in the second half, we played way better, absolutely better. You know, pressure was on point, defense, everything, tackling, chasing, just playing amazing. And, you know, just we were getting a lot of rush behind, but that's okay. You know, 14 behind is not very good. I mean, we should have kicked more goals. You know, our accuracy and our kicking wasn't very good. But anyways, in the fourth quarter, at the start, yeah, I was chill. You know, I actually thought we were going to win that game. You know, the crowd was blasting. It was all going so well until the last 5 minutes of the game was absolutely... I just can't believe we lost. You know, watching back on it, we probably should have won that game. You know, we had the crowd, we have had everything, but it shows that one fumble can change the whole game. You know, always has to stub his toe. If always kicked that goal, it would have been absolutely amazing. You know, we're 16 points ahead and we had to lose. Like, it's so frustrating and disappointing as it was our first loss of the season. But it's all right. I mean, Sam Walsh is back, baby. He's so good. He was just had an absolutely amazing game. Was definitely the best player. Definitely, for sure. 34 disposals. Easy. But anyways, Charlie played amazing. 4 goals. But I mean, I felt like he could have kicked more because, yeah, his kicking was a little bit off, but that's okay. You know, Mackay, very strong with all his marks, which was amazing. And Cripper, yeah, he was a little bit quiet, but he still absolutely dominated. But anyways, that is what I thought about the game. Go the Blues!
I'll tell you what, I am more and more impressed by Livy every week, to be honest.
It's good.
Yeah. Sucks that that the stream skipped ahead.
Yeah.
Ruined the result.
Then what? She had to rewatch it. Or she go back?
Nah, they knew the result. They didn't worry about it.
Just in the live chat here, Yuval. Millennials just look at stats, not actual play. I don't know if you only joined 5 minutes ago, but we've looked at a lot more than just stats. I can tell you. I think first time I looked at stats was in the votes. We did 50 minutes before that. Anyway, all right. Hey, there's another week in footy, boys. Always is. You got a GWS.
Huh? You got a response.
Whatever. Another week in footy. GWS next week, most informed team in the comp on paper. Saturday, 4:35 again, same place, same time. Now, we've spoken about the injuries. We're not going to back over that, but obviously it's a big part of the coming week and what the team will look like that runs out on Saturday. We'll get to the ins and outs in a minute, but what do you think of GWS this season so far as a bit of Oppo reporting?
They're a good team.
My wins are just, I'll try, just right. Leave it's it. Now, do you think to answer the question, let me just understand where you're coming from, please. Okay.
Well, they're a good outfit, aren't they? GWS. I reckon they're going to, you know, obviously they're going to go deep. They've had a pretty good.
Come up with work.
Oh, no, I saw. It's fine. It's fine. I haven't said anything. Hey, you know, Pov gets real offended really. He gets like really fucking sick.
Because he makes a fucking big deal about it. He's just staring at me.
I actually didn't. I just like looked at you because you looked lost.
When I'm doing this, staring at you, I go to Jules first.
I did throw to him. Jules, go.
Sorry, Jules.
Joe, you do it every time. Fuck. I mean, obviously, they're a very good sign, aren't they? I mean, they're very... probably one of the most well-balanced teams, I reckon. That's what I think.
Well, definitely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've just got everything, especially with Hogan firing now as well up forward. I think
I think we'll cover Hogan, to be honest.
No. Obviously, I'm just talking in terms of perspective, in terms of the, you know, the five games they've played. But in saying that, they do have now a few injuries.
A lot.
Their own. I'm pretty sure Sam Teller's looking okay, but like he's looking okay now.
Thankfully.
I mean, we watched the incident at the game, and
it's one of the worst collisions I've ever seen. It's bad. Yeah. That was bad.
So, they obviously got Cogs out, Taylor out.
Cogs, Taylor, and apparently Kieran Briggs is under an injury cloud coming out of the Saints.
There you go.
My concern is them on transition. They are scary.
Yeah, I just looked at their clearances. The
ball blistering.
Yeah. I just looked at their clearances. They lost the clearance to St Kilda by like plus 10 or more.
They
like
lost.
12, 30, yeah, lost it. So
because Jack Steele had an absolute game.
Mm, yeah. He did. Super coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
144. So I'm assuming they scored off turnover.
No, Jules, they were like a joke. Yeah. Like Whitfield to Cogs to bang.
Yeah.
Like
they also got a
Daniels who's scary.
Brent Daniels is a great player.
Brent Daniels is a good player.
But they've also got, you know, when you got the likes of Kelly and Whitfield with ball in hand, what do you expect?
They should be a good team.
Going to happen. Yeah.
They should be a good team.
Yeah.
With the personnel they've got.
Yeah, but they've added another layer with their ball movement.
So I think it could be a very free-flowing game again, is what I'm thinking coming into this.
Yeah.
Because
I think it helps us.
I think it does too. I think if we've done our Oppo analysis right during the week, there'll be a much bigger focus on transition coming out of the Adelaide game. And I think that'll hold us in good stead against GWS for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, personnel, we're going to be down Chera, Saad, Gov, Fogg, plus the other names that have already missed.
Well, it gives opportunity.
It does. Who comes in? Is this the week we see Ashton Moyer, for instance?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Jules.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you look at the players that most likely come out, I think Marchbank's probably ready to take Gov's spot.
Yep, hopefully Marchie's good to go.
I think a Cowan, by reports, he had a good game.
Yep.
I know Sincotta didn't play today.
Did Pito come out?
I don't think so. Off the players that we have available to come in.
Yeah, I'd say probably not.
Even though I think if there was a few more players available, I reckon that would be the case. Unless they're thinking Binns is ready to play because he had another good game
today. So we've got to bring in two players for Saad and Gov. Jack Harrell comes in for me, I think, rather than playing him as a sub throughout the year.
Yeah.
You can probably move pieces around to make it work as well.
Jack Harrell comes in for me. And then it's probably a Cowan or a Marchbank.
Yeah.
And you move.
But then do you have a Kennedy playing defense?
Well, this is what I was going
to
say.
You can move him.
But who
can't?
Who?
Kennedy.
You move Kennedy.
But you need two defenders. You need two defenders.
Marchbank and Cowan.
I say Kennedy prior to this week was kicking goals as well.
Yeah, but he's not going to play forward of center now. This is the thing with where the personnel are at.
No.
So and this is nothing on Kennedy, right? I want him to play every week. I think he's been brilliant. But when you've got the personnel out that you then have to fill the void for.
Why does Carroll not stay the sub? Or why does Carroll not go sub?
I just think with the way GWS moved the ball, Kennedy might be exposed with the big body that he is if you're going to play him on ball all game. We've got too many big bodies.
Plus with Pitto.
Plus with Pitto in there. Yeah, so you probably need Jack Carroll on the outside a little bit more silky, smooth with his ball movement. Leave Kennedy in as a sub, bring Kennedy in late as an injection into the forward line if we need him, for instance. I think that's fair. But I'm happy to take suggestions.
I am. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be... I'd love to see a Bins.
Apparently had a good game.
Love to see a Bins. If he's had... You know, a few games this year.
You feel like he's knocking on the door all the time.
He's won the VFL Player of the Year last year. So, you know, and he's obviously playing.
There's obviously something there that he's not giving just yet. Don't know what it is.
Yeah, correct. And it would be, I mean, I'm not hope so, but I'm thinking it's more team orientated. That's probably the reason why. We're like a defensive aspect of it in terms of, you know.
I would say it's based on that wing position. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
No, we're not.
No. It probably is.
That's where his hindrance comes is because at the moment, you know, Cottrell, Akers,
and Ollie doing what they
are in the side doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
Or not doing. I'm not going there, but that's why Bins isn't playing in my opinion.
100%.
You're not playing anywhere 100%. Else bar
week. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marchbank, Cowan come in, definitely. I think we're all aligned there for Sard and McGovern, and then it's just a little bit of what do you do to throw the magnets around to make sure you balance enough.
We need that balance, definitely.
In terms of predictions, I actually think we win this game. I think we're going to bounce back. I do. I think our pressure is going to be too much for them because at the end of the day, our pressure didn't drop off in this game. It just didn't. Started slow, but by the end of the game, we're back to our profile.
Yeah.
You've got to go with us. If our pressure rating is up at that 190 to 200 mark, you've got to go with us. And if you don't, we're going to expose you and create scoring opportunity.
Boys, in the last quarter, like that's how high it was that we had 10, almost 16 points up. We had 10 to 2 inside 50s.
Yeah. Hey, we still laid 62 tackles for the game and 11 inside 50. It's still way above the AFL average. It's not our standards for the year, but it's still way above. So if that's our floor for pressure, mate.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it happened 2 weeks in a row.
I think in terms of the way we played, I mean, we're still doing the review, but in regards to that, I think if we play the way we did against majority of the teams in the AFL, we win more games more often than not.
Can I ask you another question?
Because good luck going with us when our pressure's that high, bloke.
Can I ask you another question?
Tell me.
You said Briggs is out?
Might
potentially.
Be. Might be. Potentially. There's an injury cloud there, apparently.
If he's out, do you go with two rucks?
No, there's no need.
Correct.
No, there's no
Jules?
Need.
Depends who their second ruck is.
It'll be...
It's not Flynn anymore. He's at West Coast.
Mumford.
No, who is it? I don't know who their second ruck is. I don't know.
Come back from the dead.
I don't know who their second ruck is.
No, but the reason why
I'm...
I feel like they do. Let me have a look.
But the reason why I'm bringing that up, if he isn't available...
You don't need two rucks.
You probably don't. No. But you probably want a Pitto.
Well, I mean, if he's not, then you can really expose the clearances.
Correct.
You could. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So it could go either way. I agree with that. Is it Pruce? I think it is Pruce. I think he's still on their list.
Is he?
I don't think he plays.
No, Braden Pruce is on their list still, I think. He doesn't play. They don't play two rucks, Bob. Anyway.
A lot of teams don't.
I think we're going to win this game by 3 goals. That's where I'm at the moment.
3.
No, they don't. Riccardi and Cadman have a little bit of a...
Yeah, but obviously they've got a fucking second ruck in there. Yeah.
And then they've got one ruck on their list.
No, 3 goals.
They back Briggs that much.
I think we bounce back this week. I think we'll see our profile as we've come to know it over the last 18 games in particular, and particularly over the last 4. And I think we win this game by 3 goals, boys. And we just say to the footy world, calm your horses. We're not going anywhere.
I think 9 points. That's me.
More inclined to lean towards that pay zone.
That's another heart attack.
10 points. 10-ish. Right. That's where my head's at. Okay. 10 points.
All right. As we do every week.
I don't really have one. I'll do the...
Keep calm. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10.
Not happy, Jen!
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you like this one? Yeah. Actually, I don't like telling you before, like in the thing, but I'm not happy with my wife.
You sure you want to go there?
Shocked. Yeah, not happy. Obviously, we enjoy going to the game together to see our team win. She decided to come, which I was happy because you saw her with a scarf.
Yep.
Can't support her.
Yep.
Now, fully fledged.
Hey, when you're carrying a Carlton child, you can't put a Collingwood scarf on.
In a few weeks' time, what's going to happen?
No, she's Carlton at that game. No.
Yeah, no, she's Carlton.
No, she's converted. Yeah. It's done.
It's done.
If she ever
wears... You can't wear a scarf to a Carlton game.
If your wife ever wears a black and white scarf again, I will not be friends with you. Or her.
Me? Anyway, so I'm not happy at her because I told her to stay home and I knew why. Because every single time she comes, we lose. Every single time, boys.
Right.
So even though she's transitioned as a supporter, she's got a lifetime ban until we win a premiership. She's not coming to the game. I'm going to test it. One more time.
No.
We play.
But the theory's already incorrect.
Why?
She came to Carlton Collingwood last year around 20.
Why? I want to try it one more time.
How's this? I reckon Dan just doesn't want her in games.
He can't beat himself.
No, to be fair, I'm worse.
Yeah, I'm worse. Is that it? Jules, yeah. You got anything?
I got more. Jules does it to me.
I do. Feline?
I do.
The story's too long.
Everyone's got 15
it's
minutes.
Way too
Jules
long.
Could take you
but
through it.
It is a good one.
It's a good one. Ripper. Listen, I got ones that I can say as well, but you've said no.
Yeah, no.
Stay away.
Well, for your sake.
Yeah.
But for anyone else's sake.
Well, if everyone's got 15 minutes, Jules, tell us about Feline.
No, not 15.
It's way too long. Way too long.
I think that's it. I've got nothing this week. I'm calm. If Scotty Scheffler doesn't win tomorrow, I'll have one next week.
I'll have a not happy Dan.
It'll be at me.
Thank you.
He wins tomorrow. Boys, it's been a pleasure. Everyone in the live chat that joined us tonight, thank you very much. And if you are listening on Spotify, hit that 5 stars. Hit that follow. Until next week, boys. Up the Baggers.
Up the Baggers.
Can the Blues.